Chapter 6. Squaring Up. "He surrenders!" Priestess Dabney yelled, rushing forward from the alley wall and already beginning to cast a spell of healing. Sacnophane turned to regard her and smiled wickedly. His blade had cut Duvan's artery, clearly, although that would not likely prove fatal with a powerful cleric at hand. But Duvan was helpless to defend, and the tip of that sword was already at the man's lungs, Sacnophane knew, and with only a slight press, he could drive it right through and down to Duvan's heart, killing him before any spell could help. He gave a little press, and Duvan gasped. Dabney skidded to a stop and stopped too her spellcasting. "No, please, I beg," she implored Sacnophane. "He will not challenge you again. You have won. I pledge my fealty, please." She inched forward. Sacnophane stared at her, then snapped his free right hand sword up suddenly, the tip coming in against Dabney's soft throat. "Perhaps I should kill you instead," he said, and added with venom, "Priestess." She swallowed hard but did not reply. "Perhaps both," Sacnophane said. Dabney merely shrugged, thoroughly defeated. Sacnophane pulled the sword out of Duvan, who toppled over, the blood still flying from the wound. He lifted Dabney's chin with his other sword, smiling. "Your loyalty is unusual," he said, "and unexpected." Dabney said nothing. "And your word is meaningless," said Sacnophane. "Mine, then?" asked another, Jarlaxle walking over. Sacnophane lowered his sword. "Try your spell," he told Dabney, the sword still dangerously close. "I dare you." She stared at him hard, but began to recite her spell stubbornly. Sacnophane laughed at her. Jarlaxle held his breath. This was a priestess of Loth accepting the dare of Sacnophane, who loved nothing more than killing priestesses of Loth. "Sacnophane," he said. And when the weapon master glanced at him, he subtly shook his head, begging restraint. Sacnophane flashed that smile, one promising that this was not over, but walked away. Jarlaxle got the weapon master back in his sight almost halfway across the city. He slowed his approach and faded down one alleyway, though when he realized that other eyes were on Sacnophane and on him at that time. He figured it to be the handiwork of Matron Birton Fay, perhaps ensuring that Sacnophane did not return to Matron Malice, whatever the outcome of the duel. He sprinted to the end of the alley and threw his portable hole out before him, then rushed through the opening and pulled the magical item out behind him, solidifying the wall once more. He was in a training gym where only a pair of warriors stood in a face-off, though both were now looking incredulously at him. He flipped them a jaunty salute, and then was across the gym, deploying the portable hole again, disappearing out the other side. On he ran, cutting corners by moving through walls, surprising many, until he at last came out on the main street out of the Brayrin, where Sacnophane came strolling around a corner before him. "What?" the weapon master asked, initially startled. But this was Jarlaxle, after all, and Sacnophane calmed quickly, a stark admission that he should not be surprised. "Quick, follow," Jarlaxle said, and he threw the magical hole against the same wall he had just exited and moved for it, waving for Sacnophane to follow. Sacnophane did not. "Quickly," Jarlaxle harshly whispered. "You are in danger." Sacnophane crossed his arms over his chest, but did not approach. Behind him, atop a low roof, Jarlaxle saw some movement. A hand crossbow raising before a drow sniper. "Down, down," Jarlaxle cried, and he took a fast step and threw himself back through the hole, taking cover. "Are you okay, weapon master?" Jarlaxle heard from the rooftop. "He is," said yet another. "That is just Jarlaxle, as expected." Confused, Jarlaxle peeked above the rim of the magical hole. There stood Sacnophane, arms still crossed over his chest, a hint of a smile stamped upon his face. Behind him, the drow had lowered the hand crossbow and watched closely. Jarlaxle stood up and stepped back through the hole, then pulled the magical item from the wall, closing the opening. "You think I would be foolish enough to come out alone this night?" Zaknafane asked him. "These are Doerdens." "Of course." "Clever, Zaknafane," Jarlaxle thought, but did not say. He didn't want to give Zaknafane an even bigger ego than he surely had after the fight. He started to smile, but could not hold it when he noted another Doerden, Malice's rather nasty and vicious daughter Brisa, moving toward them from the side. He felt very vulnerable then, and even naked, for a priestess could use spells to see into his thoughts or detect if he was lying, and he wasn't wearing his magical eye patch, but this imposter piece of normal leather instead. "Your head is itchy," Jarlaxle's fingers suddenly flashed to Zaknafane. "What?" "Itchy," Jarlaxle signaled more vehemently. Zaknafane chuckled, but he did reach up to scratch the side of his head, and in that movement, he secretly slipped the eye patch off his head, taking care to conceal the only visible part, the back band, within his closed fist. He brought the arm down between himself and Jarlaxle and dropped the item, which Jarlaxle caught. With a subtle movement, Jarlaxle dipped the magical eye patch into a secondary belt pouch, one he had filled with a disenchanting liquid that removed the magical invisibility salve from the item. Priestess Brisa neared, and Jarlaxle dropped a low and graceful bow, using the movement to lift his hand to his face, where he seemed to adjust his eye patch to his other eye, as he was known to often do. Using quick hands and dipping even lower as a distraction, he actually replaced the benign covering entirely with the magical one. "Matron Malice will speak with you," the brutish eldest daughter and first priestess of House Doerden told Jarlaxle when she arrived before him and the weapon master. "I think her not pleased." She stared at him curiously then, and Jarlaxle suspected that she was trying to use some probing spell on him. "From all that I am told, Matron Malice is only pleased in certain moments," he replied. Brisa's face tightened at the obvious reference to Malice's sexual appetite. "Men have been killed for less biting words," she reminded. Jarlaxle merely smiled and replied, "Inform her that I will come to visit soon." He gave another polite bow and started to turn as if to leave, but found drow soldiers coming at him from every direction. "You can tell her that yourself," Brisa replied, and off they went. "Did you really believe that you could put Matron Malice's valuable weapon master in such peril without evoking her anger?" Brisa asked the mercenary leader as they walked along toward the cavern's west wall which held House Doerden. "It was against Avenvesa Fey Branch," Jarlaxle replied. "Do you think that Zaknafane was ever really in danger?" "Many of the onlookers were agents of House Doerden," said Brisa, "so no, we would not allow that." "And many of the others were agents of House Fey Branch, which is more powerful than House Doerden," Jarlaxle thought, but again did not say. It was all such a silly game, these house rivalries and wasteful animosity. But at least Jarlaxle could usually find a way to make some gain in the battles. He just needed to figure out how to do so with Matron Malice this time. "You have already collected the coin?" Matron Malice Doerden asked Jarlaxle when he placed a hefty bag of silver and gold at the foot of her grand seat in the throne room of House Doerden. "Oh, hardly," he replied. "But it would not do to make a matron wait for her gains. Wise choice. One taught to me since I was old enough to understand who was on the other side of a snake-headed scourge," Jarlaxle replied and bowed low. Malice snorted but let it go. "I took a great risk in allowing my weapon master to leave the house for this little game you arranged," she said. "Not so great," Jarlaxle assured her, but paused and rethought his direction here when she scowled at him. "It is true that there was danger, yes," he said instead. "But I watched closely, and really, Zaknafane could not lose to the inferior weapon master of House Fey Branch as long as there was no untoward outside influence. And I assure you, as I did when we made this side arrangement, that I had many agents guarding against that possibility. The bet was better than the offered odds. 2 to 3, she asked. Jarlaxle stiffened a bit and shrugged. They actually moved closer to 3 to 4, he admitted. Unacceptable, Matron Malice replied, too calmly. I cannot control unacceptable, given the risk that House de Werden took to allow this. Jarlaxle nodded. I know, Matron, he gave a sly little smile. You will find in that sack that I covered you at 1 to 1. He caught her off guard. He realized when she sat up straight and seemed for a moment like she might topple from her throne, which was Jarlaxle's whole point in lying to her after all. The odds really hadn't changed as he had said, and in fact had moved closer to even. But Jarlaxle was buying goodwill here, and Matron Malice wouldn't waste her resources digging into the murk to see what odds might have been offered at the time one of Jarlaxle's unannounced agents had secretly placed her rather substantial bets. Matron Beerton's weapon master is dead? Malice asked. He lived, I believe. At least a priestess was tending him when I left him, and his wounds seemed to be diminishing. Malice let out a little growl. It would not have mattered, Jarlaxle quickly added, not wanting her to run down a tangent issue here. Avon Vesa will not serve Matron Beerton in that capacity for much longer in any case. He is merely keeping the sword handles warm for a proper Fey Branch noble. She will still retain a fine blade. Jarlaxle shrugged, then shook his head. If she doesn't kill him, I will buy him out of her house, I think. No doubt Matron Beerton lost a considerable amount of coin on this fight, and so she will have little use for Avon Vesa going forward. That seemed to mollify the vicious little matron a bit, Jarlaxle was glad to note. Once again he had to hope that Malice wouldn't take it upon herself to check the veracity of his assertion, or at least that he had created enough plausible deniability so that his erroneous claim could be construed merely as a mistaken, though logical, assumption. This could have ended badly for Zacnaphane, and so for you, Malice said. Jarlaxle shrugged. Not too badly for me altogether. You would have surrendered your band to another. I had your word. Matron Mother Beanry would not side with you. Jarlaxle gave a little laugh. Dear Matron Malice, if Zacnaphane had fallen, I assure you that I would have lived up to our bargain to serve House de Werden as its weapon master. I do not wish that, no, but I thought it an easy concession to offer you, since I knew that Zacnaphane could not lose. He is magnificent. I don't know that I would bet against him, no matter his drow opponent. He had hoped to lighten the mood with a sincere approval and assessment of Zacnaphane, but Malice's scowl only deepened. You do not wish that, she echoed in low and threatening tones. Jarlaxle stood confused for a moment until he realized that Matron Malice wasn't talking about Zacnaphane's formal role here, but rather he gathered other services Zacnaphane provided. Only the weapon master part, he blurted inelegantly. You will prove that, Malice replied, sounding very much like a cat with a cornered mouse. Jarlaxle wanted to shrug, but was wise enough to keep anything that might be construed as ambivalence out of his voice or posture at that delicate moment. He couldn't deny that this woman before him was alluring, even more so given her reputation, but neither could he dismiss that Zacnaphane was his friend. It didn't much matter, he supposed, because he was indeed a cornered mouse. "Truly, matron," he asked brightly, eagerly, "you would so honor me." Her eyes never leaving the mercenary, Matron Malice began to undo her robes. A disheveled and exhausted Jarlaxle, Malice's reputation was not exaggerated, he had learned at last, arrived at the court of Matron Beerton Fay some time later, dropping before her throne a bag of gold and silver nearly as large as the one he had given to Matron Malice. He had told Malice that Beerton would be upset at her weapon master's failure because she likely had lost considerable money on the fight, but the truth was quite the opposite. Heeding Jarlaxle's advice, Matron Beerton had bet quite heavily against her own combatant. She had done so sourly, however, and still was not thrilled with the outcome of the battle. But her anger was not directed toward Jarlaxle, who had begged her to hedge any losses in stature or in the position of weapon master by taking advantage of the probable outcome. Especially when Jarlaxle had promised to cover her losses if Avanvesa had somehow prevailed. "I have already begun the whispers that the fight was not fair," Jarlaxle assured her. "Some strange force was used to stun Avanvesa, Fay Branch, and that Oblodrin agents were seen near to the oozing Myconid. Those rumors will gather no real credibility." "They do not have to," Jarlaxle replied. "A seed of doubt is enough for House Fay Branch to avoid any fall of reputation. That seed is being planted all about Menzo Berenzon, as we agreed." "You should have let him die," Matron Beerton said with obvious disgust. "I too am amazed that his sister from House Trayrock maintained enough loyalty to him to bother with spells of healing," he lied. "He was doing that, lying quite a bit this day, and to quite powerful women." How glad Jarlaxle was that he had regained his magical eye patch. "He is an embarrassment to my house," Beerton said. Jarlaxle pulled another bag of gold from his magical belt pouch, a marvelous satchel that could hold a room full of goods. He held it up and gave it a little shake. "Then sell him back to me, same price as you paid for him." Matron Beerton cocked her head at that. "You did quite well in your betting this day," she said. Jarlaxle didn't deny it. "Enough so that perhaps Jarlaxle made sure that he could not lose, yes?" The mercenary swallowed hard. "I did nothing to impinge upon the rules of the fight," he stated flatly. "And I would say that under your divining eye." She motioned for him to remove his eye patch and began casting a spell. Jarlaxle did so, but couldn't help but sigh as he moved to obey. The matrons were all coming to understand the powers of that magical eye patch, and he feared that this might be a request, nay, a command he would hear often in the future. A few heartbeats later, Beerton Fay went silent and looked at him directly and intently. "I did nothing to impinge upon the rules of the fight," he restated with confidence. She motioned for him to expand. "Nor did any of those under my control." The matron stared at him a while longer, her expression skeptical. But Jarlaxle hadn't lied for once today. All that he had done was provide a defense to Zacnaphane against a cheat, which, in itself, surely wasn't cheating. Matron Beerton finally gave a slight nod, though she hardly seemed satisfied, and Jarlaxle replaced his eye patch. "You play dangerous games, Jarlaxle," she remarked. "The dangerous ones are the most profitable." "One mistake will be the end of you," she promised. "More reason to take great care, then." Matron Beerton Fay was a devout Lothian, her house one of the oldest and most respected in the city. But her smile gave it away to Jarlaxle at that time. Though she was sneering at him now, she loved his games. The intrigue, the risk-taking, the ultimate stakes, the chaos. Yes, the chaos. She saw Jarlaxle as an agent of chaos, and no matron could give a higher compliment to any drow, particularly a male drow, than that. It was in that very moment that Jarlaxle first realized the true potential here for Bregan de Earth, a band he had created simply out of self-preservation. Now he was beginning to fully appreciate the evolution of his gambit. The matrons, powerful matrons, knew about his eye patch, yet rarely ordered him to remove it in their presence. Matron Malice had trusted him at incredible risk. Losing Zacnaphane would have crippled her ambitions. Or it would not have if she believed Jarlaxle equally worthy, and that too was a startling admission from her. Jarlaxle was still playing mostly in the Brayrin, the stench streets, but he was bringing the most powerful women of Menzo Berenzon, the most powerful drow in the entire Underdark, to his games. "I will keep him," Matron Beerton announced suddenly, startling Jarlaxle from his contemplations. "Matron?" Jarlaxle really didn't know who she was talking about in that moment, so overwhelmed was he with his epiphany. "I will keep him." "Avanvesa," Jarlaxle realized. "For now," Matron Beerton continued, "until I have confirmed the particulars of the fight with more reliable informants." "Of course," Jarlaxle said with a low bow. "And then?" he dared ask when he came back up straight. "I will kill him, or put him to guard the wall for the rest of his miserable existence." Jarlaxle shook the bag of gold. "Dear Jarlaxle, you remind me that you are, after all, a simple male," she said. "How would it appear for the dignified House Fay branch to sell him back to you, and so be inextricably tied to a band of houseless rogues?" "I will purchase him when next I have a mission from Matron Mother Bayenry to the City of Shimmering Webs," Jarlaxle answered without hesitation. "A journey to Chedna Sod will remove Duvan Treyrock from Menzo Berenzon for nearly a year at least, and when he returns, who will know that he left on that same caravan, or that he was not in Chedna Sod for all these years?" "His living siblings who serve in your very band will know, and they will say nothing to keep from losing their tongues most horribly," Jarlaxle replied. "And truly, Matron Beerton, in a year, who would even care, especially since your own position will have been filled for that year with a proper Fey branch noble son?" Matron Beerton smirked, but said nothing and motioned to the door, dismissing the rogue. Jarlaxle was happy to be out of there, since he was certain then that he would indeed be able to buy back Duvan Treyrock from Matron Beerton for a similar price to the one she had paid for the fighter. Only now Duvan would be coming back better trained, more seasoned, and more mature. Yes, it would work out soon enough. All Jarlaxle had to do was figure out how to make sure Zachnefane didn't kill the returning Brigandier soldier. More than a 10-day passed before Zachnefane appeared again at the Oozing Mike Conit, but ever patient, Jarlaxle was there waiting for him. The mercenary pulled a couple of drinks from the bar and moved across to intercept Zachnefane just as he was taking a seat in his favored area of the common room. He dropped the glass on the table before Zachnefane, then sat down opposite the man, lifting his own glass in a toast. "To a battle well fought and a victory well earned," he said. Zachnefane stared at him hard, but eventually did lift his glass. "They attacked as you expected," he said quietly. "Without your mask, I would have..." He ended there and just sighed and took his gulp. "You probably would have fought through the mind attack and won anyway. I just could not take that risk. So you... So we cheated." "Not so," Jarlaxle argued. "We simply stopped them from cheating. That is not a subtle distinction, my friend. Do you doubt that you would beat Duvan in a fair fight?" 100 fights out of 100, Zachnefane replied. It was not an idle boast, Jarlaxle knew, which was why he had bet so heavily on Zachnefane and had dared to entice 2 matrons to do the same through him. The 2 sat in silence for some time and threw another round of drinks. "I know your designs," Jarlaxle said finally.
"Do you indeed?"
"You think to find Duvan and finish him, and perhaps to quietly kill Dabne too." Zachnefane smiled and tipped his glass to the mercenary's reasoning, but when he did, Jarlaxle noted something. He couldn't quite put his finger on it, but it seemed to him that perhaps his guess was not correct after all, at least not wholly. "They are valuable," he said, probing. "He is a treacherous fool, and if I see him again, you will do nothing." Jarlaxle forcefully interjected, for he sensed sincerity in that threat. Perhaps he had been wrong about Dabney. But yes, he was sure that Zacnafane wanted to kill Duvan, something Jarlaxle had no intention of allowing him to do. "I am the weapon master of a noble house, one whose matron may soon enough sit on the ruling council," Zacnafane reminded him. "And I am the only one who can get you out of that house safely for these excursions such as you have found tonight. Without my imprimatur, how long would Zacnafane survive the Brehren?" Zacnafane snorted and downed his drink, then motioned for a third. Jarlaxle took his time with his own drink. He wanted to stay fully within his wits this night, to watch and to make note. He took a calculated gamble then in allowing more drinks to flow Zacnafane's way. He knew that other eyes were upon Zacnafane. Perhaps it was time to strip it all bare and bring the intrigue boiling to the surface.